Malcolm Fraser is a few months short of his 80th birthday, yet the former Prime Minister remains active and involved in policy discussion in Australia. In his memoirs, co-written with the journalist Margaret Simons, he looks back over his often controversial career, including the decision which brought down John Gorton as Prime Minister, the blocking of supply in 1975, and the events which led to the dismissal of the Whitlam government. The book also ranges over his 7.5 years as Prime Minister and his career as an international statesman. He gave me a long and wide-ranging interview this afternoon, which you can hear on our website this evening. In this edited version, I asked him first if he was sick of being asked about the dismissal in 1975.
Well, I do a little. You know, there was the 5th anniversary, the 10th, the 15th, the 20th, the 25th, the 30th, and everything that can be said, I think, has been said many times.
It's interesting to read in the book about the letter that Ian McPhee wrote to you just before the dismissal, in which he said, essentially, that he wanted you to become the Prime Minister, but not yet, because the price would be too high. Does that ever seem prophetic to you?
Well, a number of people have said that. I don't think it was prophetic, no. It would have been nicer to have been able to wait out and become Prime Minister after a more normal election. But we weren't in normal times. The first two elections I won were won with record majorities that have not been matched since. And that says something about the pain that Australia was experiencing through the latter part of 1974 and through 1975.
There's no denying that you had big majorities, but there's also a sense among historians now that you never really had the sense of governing for all Australians because there was such polarisation after 1975.
Well, which historians? You see, I think that's an illegitimate claim that is not correct. And if you look at what my government did, and people increasingly are, they know that we did govern, indeed, for all Australians.
I'm sure that your own view is that you did, and you may well be right, but I'm talking about the sense of polarisation that there was throughout your time. Yes, you had a majority, but the other side was, uniquely in Australian history, polarised very, very strongly against you.
Well, was it? They'd lost a lot of their own support. And when you looked at the policies that the government introduced, many of which were not expected of a Liberal government, on human rights issues, on issues that affect people, my government was perhaps the most reforming in Australia's history.
So you don't accept that when Bob Hawke came to power, there was a sense that in some way the nation had been healed of the damage of 1975?
No, I don't. I don't think that had anything to do with it. And I certainly made a mistake in choosing that time for an election. But we'd had the worst drought then for many, many a long time, for many decades. That took a great deal out of the economy. We had a second oil shock, and we had an ACTU, Bob Hawke-led wages policy that added about 25% to the unit cost of production of Australian industry. They're the things that lost me the election in 1983.
You say that you had one of the most reforming governments in Australian history, and yet there are critics, even in your own party, who say that you didn't do the heavy lifting on economic reform. How do you answer them?
Well, some have got a fractured memory, and the book, the short answer now, of course, is to read the book, because on economic reform, we were before Reagan, before Thatcher. We were the first government in the Western world to indicate that you can't solve all economic problems by spending money, that you've got to be restrained, you've got to get finances back in order. And before the second oil shock, We were well on the way to achieving all of that.
If you could only be remembered as a domestic prime minister or an international statesman, which would you choose?
The major responsibility for any prime minister is the well-being of your own people at home. The things that were done in relation to multiculturalism, immigration, refugees from Indochina, the Human Rights Commission, the Galbally Report on post-arrival services for migrants, the Administrative Appeals Tribunal and the Ombudsman, all of these things were strengthening individual against what can be an obtrusive and overbearing administration. I think they're the more important things that I did.
Now, during the Howard government, you became, oddly, almost a figure, a focus of opposition for some people. That must have been an odd experience for you.
Well, I suppose it was, but only on issues where I'd exhibited the same view in government.
Do you have an ongoing feud with Mr. Howard? I mean, what are your relations like?
I don't have a feud with him. People can... You can confuse what you think of a person as a person. And, you know, there are some people I like, but whose policies I abhor absolutely. These are two different aspects of a person. The policies that one believes in or wants to pursue is not necessarily a determinant of friendship or enmity.
And when Tony Abbott makes an issue out of refugee boat arrivals, what do you think of that?
Oh, I don't like the current opposition saying the government's lost control of our borders. To think that 4,000 or 5,000 boat people a year is going to make a difference to the character and quality of Australia is an absolute nonsense. I believe the debate about boat people is a very demeaning one for Australia. I also believe that, you know, the government half the time tries to say it's more compassionate and better than Howard, and it's undone some of the worst things that were done in that time. But for the other half of the time, they try to say they're as tough as anyone in relation to border protection. So the government's trying to have it both ways, and I think sometimes, you know, falls over the fence in doing so.
You don't like either side. I mean, I wonder how you vote. Do you spoil your ballot paper these days?
Well, there hasn't been a vote since the current government's been in power. And you know, luckily, in Australia, what one does in a ballot box is private, and it can stay private.
You're not going there.
No, I'm not going there.
I sort of thought you wouldn't, but thank you very much indeed, Mr. Fraser, for talking to me this afternoon.
Well, thank you very much. I enjoyed it.